It's good to be here. I've been blessed by being here this weekend already. It's always good to be in a group of people that know each other or know what each other are going through. And I've sensed that here, and it's been a blessing to be here. As Keith said, I don't consider myself being in the healthcare profession. I do work in the business office, and my CNA license actually is still valid, and I actually have bite scars to prove that I did CNA work. But I'm here, can I say, on behalf of the church. And I'll admit this weighs heavy on me. My goal and my prayer for me being here is not to impress you with my eloquence, to impress you with my wisdom or my accomplishments. It's not to promote myself or my way of thinking. My goal is not to have y'all leave here this weekend and always remember who I am. My goal this weekend is to promote Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his church. I stand before you as a man that has a lot to learn. I do not have life figured out. I do not have the answers to all the questions that you might hope that are answered this weekend. My biggest fear right now is maybe myself, that somehow myself gets in the way of God showing a little more of who he is, maybe. And I also want to recognize that there's people here from the congregation back home in Arota, Virginia. There's people that attend there that work at Mountain View. And I can say I've been blessed for the most part. Those in the healthcare field in our church have been a blessing. And I want to recognize that at the onset here. Now, I believe the healthcare field is a unique field. Jesus himself went about healing people. We heard some about that this morning and last evening already. That's what Jesus did when he was on this earth. It was about reversing the curse, so to speak, the effects of the curse on the lives of people. And I believe that's part of our calling as well, in wherever it is that we find ourselves. I would like to encourage a kingdom focus on life. A kingdom focus as we go through life, and wherever you find yourself, in helping in some way reverse the curse, so to speak, in the lives of the people you interact with. It might be a coworker. It might be a patient. It might be your family. It might be someone in the church. It might be someone in the community. But our lives are to be a blessing. Our lives are to bring healing in some way, shape, or form to the lives we interact with. Sometimes that's physical healing. Sometimes that's emotional healing, and sometimes that's spiritual healing. And that can happen in the smallest way sometimes, by a simple smile. I believe that is something that even children can do. One of my nephews, just earlier this week, I think it was in the ER. And I'm not sure how it all happened, but he got this, I think it was a cedar twig up his nose, the wrong way, and it wouldn't come back out. Anyways, they were in there trying to find this thing that supposedly disappeared, and the nurse kept saying a phrase that my little nephew was taught you don't say. And he says, "You're not supposed to say that." And I like to think in that small little way that made a difference. And a lot of times we look at making a big difference, we need to do big things. But big differences can be made by little things as well. And a lot of jobs, a lot of positions have their pros and they have their cons. They have their negatives. They have the pieces that come with it that we just wish we could just not worry about. But I like to think that all of us have one thing in common, doesn't matter where we're working, that when we face that exhaustion, when we face that the turmoil of what happened at work, we have a place that we can go to where we know people care, where we know people will bend over backwards for you, where we know people will listen, and that's the church. And I want to recognize that everyone's story is different. There may be some of you that don't really feel cared for. Feel loved and supported. You might feel disconnected. And maybe a little confused at what church is really all about. And I'm sorry for that. Church life isn't perfect. Church life isn't easy. It gets messy. It gets discouraging. And sometimes there's temptations of throwing your hands up and saying, I'm done. But my encouragement is, don't give up. Don't give up on investing in the lives of the people that God has placed in the church with you. As I said, it gets messy. If there's anyone here that is exhausted, that is discouraged, that is has those thoughts of giving up on your church, my prayer is that our time together here this weekend can be an encouragement to invest again into your church. But please, don't give up. Don't give up. It's always worth it. Church life takes a lot of energy, forbearance, mercy, love, patience, forgiveness, grace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, trust, prayer. And that's not an exhaustive list. But investing in the church, investing in the lives of those that God has placed beside you in church is always worth it. It's always worth it. If you would be asked to draw a picture of what the church means to you, or what comes to your mind when you think of the church, I would like for you to think a little bit. What all would be in that picture? When you think of the church, what comes to your mind? What all is included in that picture? And it's likely different for each one of us because of our experiences, because of the things we've experienced through life as a child, in our teenage years, as we grow up, the connections we have. I would like to begin by looking at what the Bible says about the church. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to be moving through this fairly quickly. I'd like to look at, sort of build a foundation of what Scripture talks about when it talks about the church. What is it that we're talking about? What is the church? What's the church meant to be? And then at the end, I would like to make it very practical. What does this mean? What does the church want us to know? What are some of those things that maybe creates that conflict, so to speak, sometimes, that misunderstandings? But I'd like to help us to make sure we get a picture of the church. So Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. And I'll be reading from the King James Version this morning. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Verse 20, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." First thing I'd like to point out here is in verse 18. It says, "I will build my church." This is Jesus himself is claiming ownership of the church. "I will build my church." This is my church. This is what I care about. It's mine. Do you see your church as Jesus' church? The second thing, in the same verse there, he says unto Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And I believe this is referring to the confession of who Jesus is. Peter said, in verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I believe that's what the church is built on. The confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and allowing him to be Lord of my life. In Acts 8, verse 37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And after that, Philip took that man and they went to water and he baptized him. It was after the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 1 John 4, verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Another thing I see in verse 18 is the church of Jesus Christ will be victorious. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 1 John 4, verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Revelation 17, verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." At the end of time, the church of Jesus Christ will be victorious. And notice why. Because of the Lamb of God, the Lord of lords and King of kings. It's because of him. It's because of him and what he's done. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22. And you're probably wondering we're not at a wedding here. But I think there's something here about the church that God has for us. Ephesians 5, verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We notice in verse 23, Christ is the head of the church. It says, he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24 says, the church is subject to Christ. And verse 25 says, Christ gave himself for the church. So I'd like for us to get a picture of what the church means to Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I think we're getting a little bit of a picture of what the church means to Jesus Christ. The work on the cross, giving his own blood for the church. He purchased the church with his own blood. Verse 26, it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. And in verse 27, it says, why? That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Imagine how God views the church. He purchased it with his blood. He loved the church. He gave himself for it. He sanctifies and cleanses it. Why? So that he can present it to himself as a glorious church. So the church, in some ways, is God's gift that he is preparing to present to himself as a holy, as a perfect, without blemish, as a gift. That's the church. And what a blessing it is that he has allowed us as humans to be a part of this gift. I believe the church is God's gift that he's preparing to present to himself. When God sees the church, he sees something glorious, splendid, honorable, no spot, no stain, no blemish, holy, and without blemish. What do you envision when you think of something that is glorious, that is splendid, that is honorable, without any stain, without any blemish? What comes to your mind? Is this the picture we get when we think of the church? Is this the church that my interactions promote? My commitment to, my attitude about, is that what it's promoting? But how can this be possible? I'm a part of that church. I'm not perfect. I have my weaknesses. There's times that I don't respond correctly to situations. There's times that, how can this be possible? With people like myself, being a part of this church. But I believe it's as we interact with each other. And as I mentioned earlier, a kingdom focus. As we interact with each other, that we're pressing each other forward in our walk with God. The church is the bride of Christ. In Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. When we look at the church, I think it's helpful to remember this is the gift that God is preparing to present to Himself. And yes, you are a part of that church. And the brother that and sister that is such a blessing to you, they're a part of that church. But you guess what? That brother and that sister that you just hardly can get along with, that every time you interact with them, you just, oh, they're a part of that church as well. It's a gift that God is preparing for Himself. And I think it's helpful to remember that. As we go through church life, it's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I want to do. It's about this church. It's about the gift. And what are my interactions doing for that gift? The bride of Christ that is preparing itself for the groom. I love the church. It's a passion of mine. And they say every pastor has a hobby horse. But I love preaching about the church. I love it. It's a passion of mine. I love the church. But it's also messy sometimes. There's also times that you just cry out, like, God, why? Why do these relationships have to take so much effort and so much energy? The church, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, find me a better place to invest in. Find me a better place to go to for support, for encouragement. Find me a better place to throw myself into than the bride of Christ. And again, if you'd be asked to draw a picture of what the church means to you, of what comes to your mind, when you think of the church, what all would be included in that picture? Is the church that I attend, the church that I'm a part of, the church that I help lead, does it mean that we're perfect? Does it mean that we as leaders always do exactly the right thing? We never make mistakes. We never have back and forth and trying to figure out what is the best step here and not agreeing. No, there's a lot of that. There are things that I think would be better. It could be better. But it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the church. And so often we can look at things and, oh, this is something that I just, oh, if we could only do it this way, it'd be so much better. And this, it just makes no sense. It's just, every time I see it, it just bothers me. Well, it's not about you. It's about the church, the gift that God is preparing for Himself. It's not about me as an individual. There are people that I struggle to appreciate at times in church. But you know what? There's also people that probably struggle to appreciate me. There's people that I would just like to hit them across the head sometimes, like, grow up already. But you know what? There's probably people that think that of me. It's not about me as an individual. It's about the church. It's about a brotherhood. I reached out to quite a few of my good friends, mostly pastors, for input on some of these topics. Like, what have been some blessings that you have seen coming, having people in the medical profession? What are some of the blessings that you have seen in having those people in your church? And also ask, what are some of the struggles that come with that? How do you work through that? How do you deal with that? And I have received some input from others, from their experiences. And some of these practical things come from my experiences, some of the things that I have seen. Some of this goes back in my youth days. I had quite a few friends growing up that were in the medical field. And so I do want to be careful this morning, but I do want it to be very practical. What are some things that the church wishes you would understand, maybe that you don't? But I do not want to come across as trying to make you feel like you are in a profession you shouldn't be in. That is not my intent. I think there are many blessings, and I think our church needs you. Our churches need you. But don't forget, you need the church as well. So what does this bride of Christ, the gift that God is preparing to present himself, what is it that the church would want you to know? And the first point that I have is the church wants you to know that you matter, that you are important to the church. Want you to know and understand that you are needed. That you're not in the church by accident. God placed you right where he did. And we'll look at that more tomorrow, Lord willing. Your support, your input, your encouragement is needed. I told some of the office people back home that if I don't show up Monday morning at 8:30, I'm just at home recouping from being knocked around here this weekend. No, I don't expect that. But I do want to share some things. These are simply my perspectives, some of the perspectives of other leaders. And I'm sure there's some things that are, it might be different from one church setting to the next. But one thing that I feel like is good for you to understand is that the healthcare field can be a dangerous field to be in, spiritually. And I'm not suggesting that this is the only field that can be spiritually dangerous. A few factors of why I believe this to be a potential dangerous field to be in spiritually is the time spent. And depending on the position, potential for high stress. And I'm sure there's some emotional times as well. And you combine those three, and you get relationships. That in and of itself is good. You need to have relationships with your coworkers. As you work in those stressful environments, you need to understand each other. You need to have each other's backs. But you know, never allow the camaraderie, the support, the relationships that you form with your coworkers to take relationships from the church. Please don't allow the support, the relationships, and the accountability you find at work to take that away from finding those things in the church. And again, I believe this is something that's applicable to a lot of careers, not only the healthcare field. But I believe the environment of the combination of time, the stress, and the emotional piece of it as well might make this maybe potentially a greater possibility for this to become reality. You know better than I do. I'm not there. But just some things that people have seen and have just wished that would be understood. The concern with it. I believe another thing that's important to understand and to know is it's always more important to prioritize spiritual health over career. When someone comes to you and asks you, you know, I've been considering getting into the medical field. Do you have any input for me? And I'm thinking especially of young youth. I encourage you to do your homework. Do your homework. Make sure you know where this person is at spiritually. How do their parents feel about it? How do their pastors feel about it? Are there things that they are working through in their spiritual lives where they are not at a place to pursue this? Questions to consider: how well do you know them? And how well do you know them spiritually? Are they plugged into the church? Do they know where they stand in life? I believe it's important that we intentionally prioritize the spiritual well-being of people when they're making career choices. It's also good to understand that education is a tool. And it was alluded to this morning, but I believe education, and this is my perspective, I'm not saying this is from the Bible, but I believe education should never become an end in and of itself. I believe education, like many other things in life, should be a tool that we use to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not suggesting that continuing education that's required. That's not what I'm talking about. But I've heard comments made that I'm taking this course, I have no idea if I'll ever use it. I enjoy learning. Well, that's fine and good. But don't make a career out of going to school. I haven't enjoyed school that much. But look at the education that you receive as a tool of how can I use this to build the kingdom? Education is not a way to attain a higher level of importance, especially not in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When it comes to church matters, in a church working together, remember the person sitting right next to you that might be a farmer, that might be a mechanic. Their perspective is just as important as yours is when it comes to church matters. Another point. We want you to know that it is okay if you're not at every church service. Now, that's probably not something you hear from a pastor very often, but I'm not done yet. The lovely word if. But it's okay If the church can see and sense a passion for the church when you are there, is there a dedication to be there every chance you have? And I would encourage this to be a consideration as well as job opportunities, promotions come up. How will this affect my ability to plug into the church? How will this promotion affect my ability to attend church services? And again, it's okay if you're not there every time. I doubt in our church, I don't think there's a single person that's there every service year round. And it's okay. Is it possible that the devil sometimes uses or tries to use a promotion or a better job opportunity to continue to put that squeeze on the church in your life? Just another little step that continues to put that squeeze on your ability to pour yourself into the church as much as you're able to. And maybe there's times where this job opportunity, for the first year, it's going to be very intense, but after that, it'll be different. Be open about it. I had one pastor reach out to me that said somebody in their congregation was considering a new position. And he found out later that in that interview, the comment was made, "My passion, my priorities lies with the church. It doesn't mean I'm not willing to pull an extra shift on a weekend. But I want you to know, my priority lies with the church. And I'm going to do everything I can to be there as much as I can." That means a lot. Making, especially your scheduler, I don't know how it all works, but make sure they realize where your priorities really are. And I work with payroll from time to time, and I know there's benefits and bonuses that come with holidays and weekends. But I encourage you, don't let that make your decision to work more Sundays. I'm not saying there's never a time when it's you need to pull your weight there at work. But I challenge you to consider carefully of the real reason why you're working weekends. Is it because of the $10, $12 an hour more that you can make? Is that the real reason, or is it of what's required? And again, it's okay that you're not there every weekend, every service, if we can sense a passion and a desire to be there when you are able to be there. And again, this is applicable to many, many careers. It's not only the healthcare field. There's things that I could choose to do over going to church. It's not only the healthcare field that people struggle with and knowing how to balance some of that. At the same time, I will admit very quickly that this filthy lucre that, as it's the term that's used in Scripture, is a necessity of life. I have three boys at home that sometimes eat more than I do. And I know it takes a significant amount of funds for daily life. But let's remember and consider carefully how important that becomes to us. And I doubt there's anyone here that the church came alongside you and said, you know what, I think you should pursue the medical field. I don't know, maybe there are. But it's a decision that you made. And I dare say most of the people in our churches are okay with that, and they support that. But what bothers me sometimes is when it feels like it's a decision that I made, now everybody else is going to have to put forth the extra effort that's required to help me stay in touch, to help me stay informed, to help me be connected. I encourage you to be willing to be the one that puts forth that extra effort. Church life would look completely different if everyone would be in the same field. But every time I'm not at church, it's asking someone else to do responsibilities. And church is about giving and taking. And I think if there's a willing effort to do what you can when you are there, there will be a willing effort from the other side as well. To pick up that extra Sunday school teaching that you're not able to do. If we're not careful, we're going to get on the bad side of the cook here. I encourage you to willingly put forth the extra effort to get to know those that are part of the gift that God is preparing for Himself. I think that is a message that is needed in each of our congregations. It's a need in our circles. The idea of willingly investing in, pursuing, to love, to care, to encourage everyone, to make sure no one is left standing in the corner not being supported. That we as a church, everyone is moving in the same direction. And if I see someone isn't, that I'm willing to do what it takes to put forth the extra effort to go into that corner and put my arm on that shoulder and says, what's going on? I care about you. I'm going to end with reading Ephesians 5, verses 26 and 27 again, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it a glorious church, not having spot and wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I believe this is what the goal of our interactions within the brotherhood should be about. Preparing the church to be a spotless, to be without blemish.